Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
And you were on assignment last week, Fred. And so while you were out, while the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yeah.
So I talked about UFOs. There's a creation film in the theaters lately. And here on Real Science Radio, we have argued that UFOs are not aliens. And I added the argument that they're not demons either. I presented an update toward confirming the prediction we've made about a decrease in UFO sightings because of cell phones and video cameras on our
phones. Yeah, you think it's increased, right?
Yeah, but
it's been a decrease.
But yeah, because people will say, well, if you saw a flying saucer, why didn't you take a video of it? And so there has been, and that's our prediction.
Everybody has cell phones now and able to take pictures and videos.
Yes.
And why aren't we having more UFO sightings?
So we'll find out about that. And then also, I presented some of our reasoning against attributing unknown phenomenon to demonic activity.
Yeah.
We also...
And RSR.org, you can go listen to that show last week.
Yes, RSR.org. We also talked about the peacock's tail. This is from Creation Magazine, our favorite publication. And the Austrian biologist, Gerd Müller, he's not a creationist, but boy, is he exposing the failure of Darwin's theory. Then we talked about plant DNA, specifically the barley plant DNA. So I just wanted to make sure all that was okay with you. Is that all right?
It's okay.
Okay.
You know, and speaking of being on assignment,
yeah.
Bob Enyart Live this year is going to Italy.
Yes.
When in Rome, do Romans.
That's right. When we have done these Bible tours of Israel, Turkey, Greece, Italy, now again Italy, which for Cheryl and I, that's our favorite country to go to.
Yeah, you've been there once before?
Yes.
Yeah.
A beautiful trip. So
you'll be on assignment, because I was telling you before the show that we were there.
There's catacombs.
The catacombs, where Christians had to live there. They were avoiding, you know, a lot
the persecution.
Of the persecution. And I
things
saw...
Things like being fed to the lions,
yeah,
the gladiator,
yeah.
All that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw a drawing on one of those of a dinosaur.
Inside the catacombs.
Inside the catacombs.
So we will try to retrace the steps of Fred Williams, the apostle. Basically, when you go to these Bible countries, it's like walking
You're retracing the steps.
Of the apostles, of the Lord, of the prophets. And Paul, he was determined to get to Rome. So we're going to have a great time. The trip begins out of New York City, October 1st, and it's the 1st through the 8th. But then for folks who also want to go with us, there's an optional 5-day extension to Northern Italy. So you get to go to Firenze and Venezia. Florence and Venice.
Venice. I was going to say, what about
Milano?
Venezia, but what about Venice?
Yeah, right, exactly. So this will be a tremendous trip. So if you want to go on assignment with Bob Enyart Live, and Cheryl Live. That'll be coming up. So just email me, bob@kgov.com, or call us 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278 for information. It's really going to be a great time.
So, Bob, we have another update. Remember that brain dead show we did?
Oh, wow. List of brain dead patients who've recovered.
Who are not really dead. Well, this story is really interesting. It's about, I mean, just dead. Three different doctors said, this guy's dead.
Dead,
not brain dead.
Doesn't even always mean dead.
Yeah.
Brain dead, people who've recovered. And so often they say, well, he's just dead, and they're not dead. I mean, it happens.
Oh, it's scary, some of the stories you hear. People who can hear the doctors talking about them.
Taking their eyes, harvesting their organs. So this guy, his name is Gonzalo Jimenez. Fred, three doctors declared him dead. So after you're dead, what do? They send you to the morgue.
They do. And this guy was on the autopsy table getting ready to be cut into.
And then, I mean, thank you, Lord, the way God made us. Then he started snoring.
Yeah. I wonder if the doctor thought that was like a new ringtone on his cell phone or something. You know,
yeah.
Where's this coming from?
Yeah, this is a pathologist who's about ready to start. He's preparing to cut into this guy, and he hears him snoring. And Fred, we've covered so many of these. In fact, our producer, Larry Wolf, has taken the show we did on this, turned it into a YouTube video, and it will be uploaded by this coming week. So Real Science Radio will have another great video on YouTube.
Yeah, and I remember when we did the show, we had a link to it, and there were people, you know, from around the country that were commenting on it.
Oh, yeah. And, Fred, I get calls here at the studio from people who are devastated. And they say, my niece, she's 7 years old. They say she's brain dead. Really tragic. We need to have a medical service where you have degreed professionals, not talk show hosts, but actual medical professionals who are available to provide medical counseling, say via Google Hangouts, a video conference call, phone conference call with the family. Fred, I've had times where families will gather in a waiting room at a hospital and they'll call here in the studio with 6-8 family members on the other end of the line on speakerphone and they want to talk. And I feel so inadequate.
Yeah.
Because I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church. They don't always know that. And I'm a talk show host, but I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to tell them how to interact with the medical professionals to care for their loved one properly.
Yeah. Wow.
So this video, it's going to reach way more people now when it goes on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But this poor guy, could you imagine? He's on the autopsy table, and they're ready to start cutting him open, and he's snoring.
He's snoring, and then he wakes up, and he asks, hey, where's my wife? He wants to see his wife.
Where's my wife? And, you know, probably the most ruthless organ harvester out there would take that as a sign of life.
Yeah.
Even the most ruthless among them will say, well, he's
okay,
probably
is alive. The snoring was... kind of a clue.
We could use his liver.
But I guess this confirms it.
His kidneys, his lungs are very valuable. His eyes.
Yeah.
But maybe he's alive. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Where's his wife?
Jeez, how close that guy came to being cut into while he's alive.
Yeah. And so on our website, rsr.org/braindead, brain-dead, you can find the whole list. And one of the big problems is that the medical community does not respect the sanctity of life. They don't honor God's enduring command, do not kill the innocent. They are overwhelmingly pro-child killing, that is, pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They are increasingly pro-euthanasia, pro-suicide. And this is all tragic. It's not only sin, it's also criminal. And on Judgment Day, they will stand before Jesus Christ, and they will be punished for this.
They'll be held accountable for that.
All those who are not forgiven by him by trusting in his death and resurrection.
That's right.
Wow.
So this next thing, Bob, is from the Denver Post. You know that conservative Christian newspaper?
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay. So,
Wait, what did you call that? It's called a newspaper?
A news?
What is a newspaper?
What is that
anymore? Oh, that's
anymore?
What they used to have. You read about them in history books?
Yeah,
people
true.
Would line their bird cages. I wonder what people line their bird cages with now. That the newspapers are all passing away.
Well, the fake newspapers.
Yeah, I guess so.
I love this headline. Denver's March for Life becomes March for Abolition as organizers join growing movement to recenter goals.
Yeah.
I love that. I love this abolition.
The March
and
for Abolition.
And she puts that in here. Not only is it in the title of the article, it's talked about in the article.
Yeah,
right?
So the Post writer, her name, Danica Worthington, this article, Denver's March for Life Becomes March for Abolition. So she reports that Colorado Right to Life is repositioning, refocusing this event. There's an annual March for Life in Washington, D.C., and they're held regionally all over the country. So she writes that Colorado Right to Life has renamed its event to the March for Abolition. And then she quotes a group spokesman, Bob Enyart, whoever he is, saying the goal is to actually abolish abortion, to end abortion, not just to celebrate life. When that is the goal, when your focus is brought back to the goal, you can better evaluate your progress.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, Fred, the March for Life, you know, they'll have politicians speak and they'll say, we're going to defund Planned Parenthood, and everybody cheers.
Yeah,
it's almost like it's a Simpson episode. Then 1 year later, the same politician has now given Planned Parenthood $500 million. Mm-hmm. That's how much Republican pro-life presidents give to the abortion industry every year, $500 million. They signed something called the Hyde Amendment, which all the pro-lifers in the March for Life, they all cheer. The Hyde Amendment says you can't use tax dollars for abortion. So that's what they give us. And what they give the abortionist is $500 million.
Man.
Wouldn't you rather they gave us $500 million and lied to the abortionist?
That would be better.
That would be better, right? Instead, and we don't, I don't want their money actually. Instead, they lied to the pro-lifers and they
I want their money.
Okay. They lied to the pro-lifers and they give to the abortionist billions of dollars in a 4 year Republican pro-life president's term.
Yeah.
Billions.
I love how the recentering of this movement. It's a great idea. I love it.
It's an abolition movement now. It's no longer the pro-life movement. I mean, it is for many who are confused and they don't understand. Pro-life Republican presidents have filled the federal judiciary and the U.S. Supreme Court with judges who reject that the unborn child has a right to life. We don't have a single judge anymore. Not one.
Yeah.
They've all agree with Roe v. Wade that the unborn child does not have a right to life.
Yep.
All of them, including Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
And you can go to Colorado Right to Life. What is it?
.org. Is it? .com. Yeah, it'll all work.
You can go to ColoradoRightToLife.org and read all about this stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's a great website and a great resource.
Thank you so much, Fred, for that. And that means tomorrow is the Colorado March for Abolition in Denver, and it's not at the Capitol. The Denver Post also points out that the group has moved the event from the Capitol to the abortion mill Planned Parenthood. And that's the old Stapleton neighborhood where the airport used to be.
Yep.
I-70 in Quebec. It's right around there.
Yeah, right near those hotels over there.
Yes. So tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Lord willing, please, if you can possibly be there, be there. It's at 38th and Pontiac. The speaker is an AHA activist, AHA, Abolish Human Abortion, Jonathan Sutherland. He's flying into Denver from Wisconsin. In fact, he's here now already. And so we'll be gathering on the front lines at Colorado's largest abortion mill right there tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Then after the event, Fred, there's something sort of secret going on, but we'll let people know at the event, whoever wants to join me and a few hearty souls afterward.
Wow. Well, that's a real tease.
Has to do with the Women's March.
The Women's March.
Yes.
Okay.
Last year, we did something with the Women's March that we were so thankful, Fred. The state police came out. We have a photo of the state police, probably 30 of them, standing in formation to protect us from the unwashed hordes.
Wow.
Of the Women's March. And what we did was we got a permit to be sort of right in the middle of the Women's March. And we brought our big signs and a sound system. And we were able to engage these hateful, perverse, ugly child killers for a couple hours. It was absolutely intense. And the state police, we were so thankful. They came out not because we are prone to violence. We were as peaceful as could be. But because the beautiful people, the tolerant, loving people who believe in diversity and free speech because of their hate-filled intolerance.
Yeah. People who live in a constant state of hypocrisy.
Yes. So,
will the state police be there again?
I hope not. they know of the event. We have a this is the after party. This is not the March for Abolition.
Okay.
This is the after party.
Yep.
So around noon or so, a handful of us, we actually rented a couple special vehicles. Mm. You know those armored? No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah.
But we did. We rented a couple 15-passenger vans so that we'll go onto the property of the Capitol. We have a permit to get through the gates, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then unload. So folks could join us for that if they'd like to also. But please be at Planned Parenthood. It's a weird thing to say, isn't it?
It is.
Be at Planned Parenthood, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning if you're anywhere near Denver, Colorado.
So, Bob, our next story is brand new in the news. It's this ancient Alaskan infant's DNA.
A little baby, maybe. She was 6 weeks old when she died. Fred, this comes from the journal Nature, and it's, I mean, this poor child, right, died, but she's with the Lord now, so mm-hmm. that's great. But this is so interesting on so many levels. First of all, they got to rewrite human history again.
No, not it's again.
Like, ever since every... we started this, every month, they've got to rewrite human history. Every discovery, it is so fun. So at our website at rsr.org/squeeze, we're preparing for the show we want to do on the theory of evolution, the big squeeze, and the theory of evolution. But we have this section on rewriting human history. Every discovery they make, they find two teeth, they got to rewrite
history.
They find a footprint in Crete, they got to rewrite human history. They find a part of a skull, they got to rewrite human history. Now they find a little baby girl's remains buried in central Alaska.
And let me guess, they got to rewrite human history.
They got to rewrite human history. At least the Native American family tree human history, yeah, that part of it.
Didn't fall in with their model, did it?
Which is a major part of it. Right, exactly. And they're always freaking out and we're always loving it. Because we don't have to rewrite the Bible ever. Fits perfectly.
It does.
With the
How often in our show of all these years we've been doing it, have we had to rewrite the Bible?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, zero.
In fact, you know, a guest we had on the show years ago, Fred Foote, he's the writer-producer of a film on the Scopes Monkey Trial. That was the trial of the century,
mm-hmm.
evolution in Tennessee. And he had these big-name Hollywood actors.
Oh, yeah, he funded a really...
fabulous,
a really good movie. Yeah.
Film. And in the film, William Jennings Bryan, he's coming into town to prosecute John Scopes for teaching evolution. And by the way, the textbook they were using that the ACLU was defending was called Hunter Civic Biology, which showed blacks and Jews as closer to apes
mm-hmm.
and white Europeans as more advanced. So this was being defended by the Baltimore Sun. Liberals everywhere, atheists everywhere, the
Clarence
evolutionists.
Clarence Darrow was the guy who came
yes,
in to defend that.
He was the ACLU guy, and then they fired him. The ACLU fired him because of what a pathetic job he had done.
Yeah.
So, Fred, in that film, the reporters ask William Jennings Bryan, are you saying that the Bible is a science textbook? He said, not at all. They have to correct the textbooks all the time.
It's a great line.
It was great. And what's interesting is the Bible makes very specific historical claims, and claims could be challenged. And so there are so many discoveries when the evolutionists make claims and they get challenged. They're constantly having to rewrite, not tweak, dramatically rewrite their model.
Yeah, dramatically change it.
Yes. And so here they are again, because this girl, she was born into a family where folks are coming from Asia. You know, the Bering Strait across,
mm-hmm.
there was once a land bridge from Asia to Alaska to North America.
Yep.
And we cover that in our flood video, which, Lord willing, we'll be putting on YouTube soon. The whole video, the whole 3 hours,
the days
three-part
before
series.
Peleg, right?
Yes, before Peleg, the earth was divided in the days of Peleg. As sea level rose rapidly, the coastal settlements around the world were submerged. We see evidence of that all over the world.
Tons of evidence for that.
Yeah, it's so neat. We've seen it when we've traveled and we've gone to these settlements in the Mediterranean. You know, we've also been able to go to New Zealand and Europe. What a blessing we've had in this outreach of Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah, that's real science, not like the fake science of global warming and how Miami's
right.
going to be covered by water. That was in the Sports Illustrated, like, I don't know, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And right. that was supposed to be covered by now.
Yeah.
I ended my subscription, by the way, right after that dumb article.
Did. Oh,
you know,
you.
Hey, you're supposed to read sports in this thing, not dumb global warming and Al Gore's scare tactics.
Right, exactly.
So cities that aren't buried that are supposed to be by global warming, but we have good evidence for the cities that are, or the, and the
yes.
coastal, you know, yes. coastal cities buried and, around the globe.
And Peleg, when the Bible says that the earth was divided in the days of Peleg, the Hebrew there refers to the earth, not languages, not people, but the earth being divided and by water, Peleg, like archipelago.
Yeah.
Pelagos, Greek for the sea. So as sea level rose after the flood, which we described very well already on our YouTube channel in the RSR playlist, just check that out, our video on the global flood, about 12 minutes in, you'll see this section. It's so fun, Fred. But as the continents were sinking back into the mantle, the ice age was gradually ending because they were therefore getting warmer.
And there's a gradual increase in the
sea level.
Sea level,
sea level yeah. is rising as the continents are sinking back in and the ice is melting. So during that time, after the time of the flood and the dispersion at Babel and up to the time of Peleg, you had human beings traveling eastward to get as far east as they could get. Japan, the house of the rising sun, that's the east,
mm-hmm.
right? The west is the new world, America and Europe. And what's in the middle? It's the Middle East. It's Ararat. It's where Noah in the Mesopotamian Valley, in the middle of the rivers there, the Tigris and the Euphrates. So the Bible's history is the true history of the world. And we don't have to rewrite that, but they have to rewrite with every other discovery.
Yep.
But as people migrated through Asia, and as they're traveling generation by generation after the dispersion, their genetics are adapting rapidly to their environment.
Yeah, and the key is rapidly here. That fits the creation model.
Rapid diversification, rapid expression of the genome, which we know historically happens.
Mm-hmm.
So as they cross the Bering Strait, they get into North America, then what the materialists believe, the atheists, those who reject the Bible as God's word, they think that over many thousands of years, these people who came to the Americas, their genomes separated, and you had a North American native genome and a South American native genome. But that all happened rapidly. So this little girl, when they sequenced her DNA, they found out that she's not Asian. They could see that she's from Asia,
mm-hmm.
but she's not the northern. She's not the southern. Her family were the forerunners of the northern and southern Native Americans. They were the forerunners.
The forerunners.
So,
and this just all happened way too fast for the evolutionist model.
It throws them into an absolute tizzy. This can't be. But it is.
It is. And so they have to go back to the drawing board again.
Yes.
And again and again and again.
Fred, and something else. Do you remember this past year, our list of evidence for the Exodus? We talked about in the land of Goshen, how the people from Canaan, the Jews, mm-hmm. really, the Israelites,
yep.
they would bury their children inside of their homes beneath the floor.
Yeah, that was a common practice and, you know, really unusual to us.
So
in today's day and age, it's weird.
So peculiar.
But that's what they did.
They were doing that there when they were in Egypt, and archaeologists have found that that comes from Sumeria. The Sumerians did this. Ur of the Chaldees, when Abraham comes over to the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, that practice went over into the land of Goshen, and this little girl, along with another little girl, were both buried beneath the hearth inside the home.
Beneath their fireplace.
Yes.
That is so interesting.
Yes. So,
wow.
So either the atheists have to think that this very peculiar phenomenon developed, this cultural idiosyncrasy developed totally separate across thousands of mm-hmm. years. But in reality, these are the same people who are rapidly being dispersed across the face of the earth.
I wonder if they'd call that like convergent genetics or whatever. You know,
yeah,
they have convergent
right.
is their rescue device.
Yeah.
Because like how they say the eye evolved 40 separate times.
Yes.
It's
right.
so crazy.
Right. Right.
Convergent so desperate.
Cultural weirdness.
Yeah. yeah.
A little weird to bury your loved one inside your
yeah.
home.
They probably think it'd be weird the way we do it now, but to them, you
well,
know, probably normal.
They might.
That
you
is
know,
super, yeah.
In Europe, unusual. The Catholics were burying people inside their churches and their basilicas.
Mm-hmm.
They say that Peter was buried in St. Peter's Basilica. I took that tour in Rome, and I asked the gal doing the tour, I said, well, where's his wife buried?
Oh!
You would have thought I would have asked for fries without salt at McDonald's. It just went, it's like, what is she going to say? You know,
yeah.
Because the Bible talks about Peter's wife, but the Roman Catholic Church, they've written her right out of history.
Yeah.
So disrespectful.
At least you asked a good question. My wife, I drove her nuts. I kept asking, where's the 15th chapel?
It's a good one,
yeah,
Fred.
You know?
I never thought about that. That is something. They've recolorized the ceiling. It's just awesome.
It is awesome. And by the way, we mentioned it earlier in the show. It's coming up. It's not that. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah,
October
1st. If anybody wants to come, it is expensive, of course.
Yeah.
Right? To go across the sea. We're going to fly out of JFK Airport, New York City. That's on October 1st.
That was my favorite trip, by the way. If you go, you'll love it. Italy's just so fantastic.
And Cheryl and I, it is our favorite place to go. So October 1st through the 8th is $3,500. The five-day extension to go up north to Florence, Venice, Milan, that is $1,900 a person. So it is, of course, not inexpensive, but what a great time it's going to be. And for whatever we learn, we're not going to have to rewrite the Bible.
Yeah. I'm a betting man. I bet you I'll give you 1,000 to 1 odds you won't have to rewrite. I'll tell you what. I'll give you 1,000,000 to 1 odds because it never happens.
Yeah.
You don't have to rewrite the Bible.
That's...
And if you do, we know you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. You just wait a little bit. You figure it out. You think harder. You humble yourself.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, the Bible was spot on every time. So, Fred, in a little time we have left, this story in the Current Creation magazine that's about a new virus species that they have discovered.
Oh, man, Bob.
This story cracks me up.
It cracks me up and it irritates me at the same time. It's so dumb.
It's bacteriophage lambda. So what they say, Fred, is they got this virus and it would grow on two different strains of E. coli. That's ugly stuff, mm-hmm. E. coli. And the two different strains, they have different kinds of receptors on their cell membranes. So you can imagine a virus, if it's able to attach to one kind of a receptor on a cell membrane and then get through the membrane to infect the cell, or another kind of receptor. So what they did was they isolated this virus in a flask that only had one kind of E. coli, not the other.
Not the other kind. And it over time, it could only infect that one.
It mutated. Right. It mutated, as happens.
Yep.
And it lost its ability to get into the other strain of E. coli.
So the key word there was lost an ability.
It lost information, which is part of the creation model.
Yeah. So now
evolutionists don't know that, by the way.
That's right.
They can't think that carefully. They can't think that hard.
Yeah. And if they know it, they don't admit it.
It's not very hard, but they can't do it.
Yeah.
It has to do with humility, right? It's not IQ points.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, Look at this. They're so excited, Fred. This has been reported in the journal Science just a year ago. They said, we have now, for the first time, we have observed speciation, a new species evolving.
For the first time.
First. For the first time.
For the very first time.
Every time.
Why do we always hear stuff like that?
Fred, every time they find the missing link, they say, finally, we found the missing link. When a week earlier, they said, there are no missing links.
I remember one article, the long-sought missing link has been found, and that was that Tiktaalik, and then it gets refuted not long after that when they find, footprints of tetrapods 10 million years older than that.
So if one day before this paper was published in the journal Science, we would have asked some evolutionists, have you guys ever observed speciation? They would have said, of course, see it all the time. So, Fred, if there are fish that swim, say, average of 3 to 4 feet below the surface of a lake, for some ecological reason, perhaps they go after prey that's swimming a little bit deeper, they start swimming a little deeper, and then a pregnant one lays her eggs, and then those eggs start swimming 6 to 8 feet deep in the lake, and the evolutionists say, see, these are two different species. We've seen them evolve.
Yeah.
That's what they have to go to.
Yeah, that's how desperate they're getting.
For evidence.
So now they've got a virus that could infect two different types of bacteria. They isolate them, and so now only one virus can infect one, and then another virus that's now speciated can infect the other one. They're so happy with themselves, Bob.
Right, because they think they've proved evolution. Look, we're watching evolution happen before our eyes. Evolution can at some level explain survival of the fittest, but not the arrival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to explain how the single cell, they have to be able to explain how E. coli came into existence in the first place.
And as you said earlier, it lost a function. It lost information.
Yes.
Where is this increase of information that obviously you need gobs of an increase
yes.
in information to have any kind of evolution? And it never happens.
Yes. At Theology Online, they have a few fun forums. One is their Bob in Your Life forum. And there's a guy, Johnny, there, who is a credentialed evolutionist. He and I are debating in print. You mm-hmm. run your own forum, evolutionfairytale.com. So we're doing this over at Theology Online. And he says evolution does not involve an increase in information. And I about
wow.
split my side. I was just cracking up. So I put his quote, his name, and his quote in my signature. So every time I post it,
I love that. Appeared. That's great.
Yeah, that appeared. That's so bizarre. To go from molecules
to
man,
good.
From a single-celled organism through all of the animal plant kingdom right up to Homo sapien, that involves no increase in information.
So I love right? that. My signature for many years was Lord Kelvin's, you know, the atheistic idea is so nonsensical, I can't put it into words.
Yeah.
I love what you did.
That's so good.
Yeah, you quoted this evolutionist, a modern-day evolutionist.
So, Fred, last story. That was a neat report in the current Creation magazine, but their following story about water on the moon, there's water on the moon, and the main reason is because the moon got the daylight's beaten out.
Pummeled.
From the debris of the fountains of the Great Deep. When the fountains broke forth and some of that debris hit the moon, affected its perfect orbit. It's no longer exactly 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it beat up the surface of Mercury, Venus, Mars, and put out the asteroids and comets and TNOs.
Yeah,
that stuff.
That's where all that stuff comes from.
Meteoroids, right. So in this article, they're talking about the water on the moon, which it is there, but they say something about the Bible that is so unfortunate. Fred, here, let me read this from Creation Magazine. This is the current volume 40, number 1, 2018. They say, the Bible suggests that the earth was made from water.
Huh.
That the earth and the solar system, they
were
say.
Were made
that
from
the earth and the
water.
Solar system were made from water.
We need to be on their editorial board, Bob.
So the Bible doesn't suggest that the earth was made from water.
No, it does not.
So this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and there were waters on the surface of the earth. But the Bible doesn't say that the earth was made from water.
Mm-hmm.
There was no pre-existing water from which God made the earth. Or he made Mercury, or the sun for that matter. The Bible doesn't say that. So, Fred, what's interesting, remember you and I did a show where the same group, CMI, along with Answers
yeah,
in Genesis.
Great group.
Yeah, they are great, and they lead a lot of people to the Lord.
Oh, absolutely.
And we love them dearly.
Oh, yeah.
But Noah's Fountains of the Great Deep, the global flood, they have begun very quietly, without announcing it, they just made a shift, and they're saying that the fountains of the Great Deep were magma.
Magma?
It's absolutely absurd.
But wait a minute. Wasn't the earth formed out of water?
Yeah, right. So here's,
wasn't formed out of magma?
So here's what happens. Now, the fountains of the Great Deep are water. Water comes up from beneath the crust of the earth and floods the earth. They are saying that the fountains of the Great Deep were magma, but now the earth is made out of water. It's the weirdest thing in the world. The earth is
and
not made out of
earth.
That's
what happens. We talked about this before. That's what happens when you're locked on to what's really a flawed, a false model.
A false model like
CPT.
Plate tectonics.
Yeah.
Catastrophic plate tectonics. They don't know where to get the water from to provide the water for the global flood. So there is no water. It's magma. And the magma comes up and it fills up the basins of the seas. and it causes the sea level to rise. And that's what they think flooded the earth. That's bizarre. But then to say, and they're increasingly saying, that the earth was made from water. It's simply not indicated in the Bible.
It is not indicated in the Bible. So huge stretch.
Yeah, so Fred, these kind of segments, they don't make us a lot of friends in the creation movement. Yeah. But we love these
guys.
Yeah,
they're awesome. This is a particular point that we think they're wrong on. And hopefully at some point people will start coming around that, you know, CPT, that's got really fatal flaws. And you've done a great job in the flood video, the third CD. And, you know, my son and I watched that again over Christmas.
Oh,
it was his first time to watch it.
The global flood, the RSR's global flood video.
And really, it's really good. And I'd have to say, if I had to pick a favorite, it'd be the third CD in that.
Oh, the
which
third
is
part. It's
the part that refutes
parts.
Catastrophic plate tectonics.
Oh.
It's super well done, very interesting. The whole thing is great. I mean, the first CD is the history behind why there's
the
this tension.
The flood
between,
model controversy.
It's so interesting.
Walt Brown.
Yeah.
And
who was critical of the vapor canopy theory. And that got, you know, that's kind of what started this whole.
Yeah, that turned the
splits,
so to speak. Answers in Genesis, which back then was not yet Answers in Genesis. But ICR, the Institute for Creation Research, when they were teaching the canopy theory, now none of them do. None of the big groups, they all have recognized.
See, that's where I think eventually none of them will teach CPT. It just will take a little bit of time.
It'll take
time. But it won't take as long as it took for them to get rid of those fake embryos.
Oh, yeah.
And all these other dumb icons of evolution.
Yes, right. So today, the leading creation groups acknowledge that what was called the vapor canopy theory, it is unbiblical and it's unscientific. And so they have rejected it.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that they have. And one reason it's unbiblical is because it only rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but the waters continued to rise for another 110 days.
Continued to rise.
For another 110 days.
How can they rise? Where would they come from?
So if the water came from up above in some vapor canopy, then once it stopped raining, the waters would stop rising. But the waters rose because the waters came from beneath the crust.
Yeah, it's still pouring out from
beneath the crust. And that's why there's so much sediment, a mile deep of sediment on the continents. You can't have that if the rain came from above, because as soon as it eroded the first, say, 200 feet of sediment, you can't erode any more continental rock because it's now all blanketed. It's insulated by all the sediments.
All the sediment going
at the bottom
around
of the floodwaters.
Yeah.
So the only way to get a mile deep of sediments is for the erosion to happen below the surface of the earth.
Yeah.
The waters are coming
up. That makes perfect sense.
Yes. And that's what we look at comets, and that's the stuff they're made of.
And Ryan, I remember he said something like, wow, that's cool.
Hey, that's a professional opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Fred Williams, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob. Great show.
What
thank you.
What a joy to be in studio with you. And a last reminder, if you live in Colorado, please try to get to Denver's March for Abolition tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to hear Jonathan Sutherland at the Planned Parenthood. It's not inside the Planned Parenthood. It's right across the street from the Planned Parenthood at 38th and Pontiac, right near I-70 in Quebec. I can't wait to see you there. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the real science radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.